interview with Edward McIntyre, McIntyre, President of Elected Black Officials Association, State of Georgia, April 22, 1974, in Augusta, Georgia.
Mr. McIntyre, you're a member of the County Commission for Richmond County, is that correct?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little bit about you, just your background. Are you a native of Augusta?
Yes, I am a native of Augusta. Born here some 42 years ago from a poverty-stricken family that was born in the heart of the ghetto. Like one of the assets that I've always had is that my parents have been deeply religious. As a matter of fact, my mother just celebrated her 34th anniversary as a Baptist preacher here in Augusta, which I think is a very unique thing for a lady to be involved in, and this has been a tremendous asset to me and my philosophy and my attitude towards living in life and people. I worked my way through college, the whole bit, as you hear all the time. I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta with $150 in my pocket and told my mother I'd be back when I got a degree. That I did by working summers and after school 4 years, well, exactly 5 years. I stopped for a year because I didn't have enough money to go back. But that's the kind of life I've lived. I believe in hard work. I work right now an average of 12 to 16 hours a day, and that's I've been doing since I started to work when I was in the fifth grade, and I haven't stopped yet.
Your position with Pilgrim Life is what?
I'm a vice president in charge of program development.
And how did you get involved in politics?
Well, some years ago, I worked very, very hard with the NAACP and the local chapter and with the regional, worked on as a regional advisor for the Southeastern region. As a result of working with the NAACP and being concerned with the welfare of people, I got involved and really doing things and participating with lawyers and visiting other cities when they were in trouble and this kind of thing. And all of a sudden I found out that I think that we had to some degree finished our task as an individual working directly in the civil rights bit. And I said that maybe I ought to look for another way to work with and for people. And I thought that maybe in the decision-making process was in the political arena, that probably with my background, concern, and experience that I could be more helpful to my community and to this state if I got directly involved in politics, and that's what I did for several years. I'm a professional PR practitioner, so for several years I conducted the campaigns of other blacks and the strategies and things, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Augusta had the first black city councilman south of Philadelphia. Some years ago, even before Atlanta had any elected officials, and I spearheaded that campaign and worked with it and did so for several other candidates, not only here but in South Carolina and some other communities. And as a result of that, I myself eventually wanted to be in politics and because I thought that I could do some good, and that's the reason I got into it.
So when did you first run as a candidate yourself?
1968 for the House, and I ran at that time against the strongest Republican that we had in the community. He was an incumbent, and I think he beat us by some 20 or 30% vote, which we thought was a victory for us at that time, and we were delighted with the results, although not completely happy about it, but we were delighted with it, and I think that we made a lot of friends as a result of that campaign. Let me say, too, that even prior to running in 1968...
You ran as a Democrat that year?
Yes. I've always been involved. The Cancer Fund, the United Fund, the Heart Fund, you name it. I've always been involved in things that I thought would enhance the plight of people, help people. And this, by doing so, I got to be known throughout the community as a very concerned citizen about the affairs of people. And I think this has been an asset to me as a candidate running for office, and fortunately we won. And as you know, or might not know, it was on an at-large basis that we won the seat on the county commission.
Which was in what year?
1970, I think. We went in office in 1970.
So are you in your first term now?
Yes.
And are you the only black on the council?
Yes, we have five members, and I'm the only black, but we do have a Chinese and a Jewish fellow, and we have just a regular Anglo-Saxon American. I think we have quite a blend on the local county commission.
What do you think has been the impact of your being on the commission?
Well, I think one thing that I think there were many whites who probably voted for my opposition for several reasons. Number one is because there were some people who I found out who had never voted for a black man and found it difficult to vote for a black man, who told me that although I've never voted for a black man, I've just been so impressed with what you're doing that I'm going to vote for you. I might relate this story to you. I met an old white lady at one of the rallies, and she walked over to me and she said, you're Ed McIntyre? And I said, yes. She said, you know, I've watched you on television during your campaign. I've read your material. I've read your platform. And she said, I find it very difficult to vote for a black man. She said, but I've prayed about it, and I've talked to other people about it, and the Lord told me just yesterday that it's the right thing to do, to vote for you, because you're better qualified, and I feel that you're a good Christian and that you're going to do a good job for us. I've had some other experiences as running for office. I had one man at another rally to come up to me, very old, 71 years old, as a matter of fact, white, and he said to me, and he'd had a few drinks, he said, you know one thing, he said, I've never voted for a nigger in my life. He said, but by God, I'm going to vote for you come next week. He said, because I think you're the man for the job. We had other experiences. I think we had people who...
How did you feel when he said that?
I, being a Southerner, I felt that this is progress. Here's a man that's under the influence to some degree, but he recognizes that out of all the candidates running for this office, that I probably would do a better job. And out of his... under the influence, he just burst out and said, I've never voted for a nigger in my life, but by God, I'm going to vote for you. And I saw this as progress. I saw many other experiences similar to this. I might want to relate another little story for you. I was invited to a barbecue at a local high school, and a white person had invited me. He said, Ed, I'd like for you to come out here. I think it would do you good. I think you'd meet a lot of people and shake a lot of hands. And we did, and we did shake a lot of hands, and all of a sudden, here came a young white man, looked like he was in his middle 30s, and he had a little 6 or 7 year old boy with him. So I was standing at the entrance, and he walked in, and I said, how do you do, sir? I'm Ed McIntyre, and extended my hand, and he refused to shake it and walked on away, and his little son ran up behind him and caught him on the coattail and said, Daddy, Daddy. He said, why didn't you shake that man's hand? So he said, he's been such a nice man, and you didn't even shake his hands, Daddy. And his daddy said, come on, son, said, let's get some barbecue. Well, in that little boy, I saw even some more hope of what we were coming to be in the South and what was really happening. But the thing, too, that I think that I wanted to bring about is that I think there were many whites who did not vote for me because they felt that that I was going to be the kind of black man that was going to be in there hollering for black people every day and to take something away from them that they had. And they were reluctant to vote for me because they were losing one other position of support for their ideas and their philosophies and probably of the distribution of funds. But what I've done, and I've done this very sincerely, I've said as chairman of Public Works, and I've been chairman of Public Works ever since I've been a commissioner, it's a big job. It takes in the roads and bridges, the correctional institution that we have here, it takes in the traffic engineer, it takes in the landfill, and we spend a lot of money. And what I've said and what I insist upon is that this money be spread throughout the county on as equal a basis as possible. What I'm saying is that although there might be 50 streets in one section of the community that needs resurfacing or paving, I will not spend all the money on those 50 streets. I'll say, well, let's do 10 this year, but let's give everybody a little bit of this money and spread it around throughout the community. And I think that now, and based on many other things that I've brought up, I'm right now, I think, the co-father of the Coliseum Authority, and we are going to have a Coliseum. I propose the Georgia Hall of Fame to be built here in Augusta. I worked for a Human Relations Commission and many other things of this nature. And I think that now that my white base is much broader than it was when I ran, because I've been not a black county commissioner, but a county commissioner that happens to be black, which I think is a difference, because I've represented all the people very fairly and squarely, and I've insisted upon telling them the truth about things that I liked or disliked.
When you're getting ready to say now that you feel you've established your black base, I mean your white base.
Yes, I think that the base has been broadened. I had a white base even at the beginning, and I think it was based on things that I had done in the community over a period of years and working with various organizations, gotten to be known, and I think it's very important. Qualification alone, even back in those days, and I think even true today, will not just get a black man elected. Because one of the things that was always said about me, and that I always try to say to the other blacks who are running, is that whites would say, and especially when you got to have a broader voting base than just isolated to a black district or a black ward, the first thing they say is that I know Ed McIntyre, and he's qualified, and he's a good man. But the knowledge of me, I think, played a very important role in my success in being elected. Not just he's qualified, he's got a wonderful-looking resume, something of this nature, but the fact that I know him and I know what he stands for and what he's done in this community, that played a very important role in getting us elected, I think.
But now that you feel you have broadened that base, do you think you will give more attention to specific areas of black needs?
Well, I think we've done this all the time. It hasn't been one of those things that we've completely divorced the black community,
right,
or we've completely divorced the problems of blacks. We worked on problems of black all along, but we haven't said that as a black man that I ought to be concerned only for black problems, is what I'm really saying. That I've been concerned with the problems of the community regardless to whether it exists. And we work very religiously on what you might call, if you want to label them, black problems and white problems.
What specific areas do you feel that there's been a change in so far as providing county services are concerned?
I think that
as a result of your being on the commission.
I think that, well, number one, that we've got more black representation on boards and commissions that where blacks have never been on before and been a part of the decision-making process.
What are some specific examples?
Planning. Well, let's put it this way: every board that we have, the draft board, the planning board, alcoholic beverage committee. Just about every board you can name now that's in county, we have at least one black, and in some instances, two blacks. And I'd have to get out my books and go through the list of them. But I think that this has been...
Has that been since you've been on the...
Yes, since I've been on the commission. So I think it's one thing. The other thing has been is that we have been able to relate to the commissioners in a more direct way many of the problems, and been able to let them have a better understanding of black problems and black attitude about these problems. In the area of recreation, for an example, we are now building and refurbishing and the black playgrounds where probably they had been to some degree neglected before. In the area of traditional dirt streets in the black community, well, we've surpassed all other commissioners for the past 2 years. We've done more paving and resurfacing in the black community and in the total community, by the way, than has been done in the previous 10. I think this is a record. I think one of the most important things, Jake, if I can say this, is that black people were beginning to feel like it just ain't no use of putting black people in office because we ain't gonna get anything either. And I think that we have been able to let black people, by being chairman of Public Works, if I was chairman of a of an intangible committee where they couldn't see anything, I probably would have the same problem. But they are now beginning to see results through paving of streets, through recreation, and through other areas, seeing results of something that they wish for, and seeing that this is being brought about with the assistance of a black man. And I think this has been a great deal of help in reestablishing confidence that we do need blacks on these boards and commissions, because we can get something done and can get something accomplished.
How did you run in white precincts? Roughly what percentage of white vote did you get? Did you analyze it?
Not down to a percentage, but I'll say this, that we had to get at least 25% in order to win. And we had a real struggle of it as a running a commission. We had we ran against in the primary, on the Democratic primary, against a retired fire chief and against a man who was serving on a tax assessment board, where we do have blacks now, by the way. We were successful in being in the runoff against the gentleman who was on the tax assessment board. The fire chief came out in a press conference and endorsed me over my white opponent for that position, and we won very heavily against him in the runoff. And then in the election itself, we ran against a very fine gentleman, a successful businessman who was just out of office as president of the local country club. It was a hard race. He had far more money than we had. He could buy the media that we had bought, but we shook over 5,000 people and ourselves. We had about 500 volunteers of every walk of life and every color working with us. As a result of that, we won by 97 votes. And we thought it was a victory for the community, not for me, because it was indicative of the fact that this community does to some degree recognize and will support a qualified man who has proven his concern for the community, and that's what happened in our election.
Was your white support coming from upper income precincts or lower income?
Both. As a matter of fact, we have a ward here that's called a fifth ward, and it's been known to be the redneck ward in our city government. We received some 200 and some votes from that ward, and this had never been done by a black man. The best had been done was under 100, maybe 56, something like that. So I think that...
Did you actually campaign?
Oh, yes.
In that precinct?
I sure did. I campaigned all over this county. But we did receive heavy votes from the affluent white and what we call the upper wards, the 7th and 8th wards. We did get... very heavy boards in those areas. As a matter of fact, we carried one ward and almost carried the other.
And was that in the primary or in the general election?
In the general election.
Against Republican opposition.
Right. And the upper wards are heavily Republican, too. So we feel that many Republicans voted for us in that election.
How many elected black officials are there in Georgia?
In Georgia? Well, we've had just recently an upsurge of more, but it's over 200. John would have the exact figures on that. But we just had a recent election and had some more city councilmen that I just met recently at our last meeting in Macon.
How active is the Black Elected Officials Association?
Well, they said it, we just got started, and this was a dream of mine. I think it's very active. We had very, very good participation at our last meeting. As you know, it's as somebody said to me, that Ed, it's a real job to try to lead leaders. And I said, yes, it is. That's about what it is. Everybody is primarily a leader themselves, and they want politicians have this kind of ego thing. They want to be recognized, and they want to be head of things and this type of thing. But we've had very good support. We're planning a seminar in Atlanta on the 10th and 11th of this month to inform and to educate black elected officials how to be more effective being minorities on their prospective boards in their particular prospective governments. And we think this is going to be a highly successful seminar, and we think we're going to have very good participation. The primary purpose of GABEO, the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials, is to inform and to better educate black elected officials in being effective in their jobs. And we find that recognizing that politics is something almost an infant to us as black elected officials, we need to exchange ideas and to talk with each other about our experiences and how we made certain things successful as we went along. So the exchange of ideas and to bring in experts to talk to black elected officials on what they can do as a minority on a board to be successful is a primary purpose of what we're really trying to
do. Who will you be bringing in, for example, in the Atlanta meeting?
We've asked the Voter Education Project. We've asked the Election Fund, the Southern Election Fund, and we've also asked one other organization to put together for us, along with our four major committees, the seminar. The kind of people that we'd be bringing in and the kind of information that we would be using would be political teachers, would be elected officials. We've also thought about bringing Tom Bradley in to talk with us about how he did it in Los Angeles. We have available in Atlanta people like Maynard Jackson and others, Andrew Young and others who we feel can have a tremendous amount of input into telling a guy from Chitlin Switch, Georgia, where you got 2,000 people and you got a black city councilman, as to how he can become effective and do a better job in a position he holds there. And this is the kind of thing we hope to accomplish at this center.
Are any of these black elected officials Republicans in Georgia?
Oh, yes, we have some Republicans. That's why we're nonpartisan with the Georgia Association of Black Elected Officials. We do not endorse candidates as a body. We feel that in order for the organization to be successful and that we have to be nonpartisan and not be dealt with parties. Now, we do recognize that 98% of the black elected officials of Georgia are Democrats, but we do have a few Republicans.
Is there any sort of a black caucus within the Democratic Party in Georgia?
No, it isn't. I think they have in the General Assembly, the senators and state representatives have what they call a black caucus, I think, that meet on occasion to talk about problems that are unique to black people or to them and how they can best cope with them. And I don't know if this is an organized group or I think not. It's just a group that meet occasionally and do this.
Is there any sort of a black political organization statewide in Georgia?
No, I brought this up at our last meeting, and I've assigned a committee to look into this, to study it, and to bring recommendations back to us on the 10th at our meeting in Atlanta. And the reason why we're doing this is we feel that we do need a statewide organization that we can call on people from throughout the state when we have a problem, that we can discuss it and find out how to best approach that problem to be solved. And for this reason, I've recommended that we do have an organization of that type. We have had an organization of that type some years ago. We used to have a Black Democratic Party of Georgia. It was under the direction of Judge Walden out of Atlanta, who passed some years ago, but this organization doesn't exist anymore. The kind of organization that I envision is to have an organization not of political elected officials, but of people who have shown concern for the political arena and what goes on in it through the years, and we draw on them to form a network throughout the state to work on problems that we feel that we ought to be addressing ourselves to.
Do you see such an organization dealing with such problems as simply voter registration, getting out the vote?
I think that would be one of the major roles of this organization. Right now, we feel that we're going to pick up 12 more seats in the House this fall. With the ones that we have there now, this is going to be something that everybody's going to have to reckon with.
How many blacks in the legislature now?
It's about 8, 10, or 12, it's somewhere in that area. And when we pick up 12 more seats, we'll have about 24 or 5. And I think this is something that we'll have to reckon with. Anybody would have to reckon with.
Are there any black Republicans in the legislature?
Yes, the one.
Who is that?
I can't think of his name. He's from Atlanta, though. He's an older man from Atlanta who's...
Oh, yeah, I do know who it is.
Yeah, he's been in the Republican Party for maybe 50 years. He's still there. We're not concerned, as I tried to tell somebody the other day, we're not concerned with party as much as we're concerned with results, with people that we can trust and know that they're concerned and responsive to the needs of all the people of Georgia rather than to be concerned with a special interest group. If it reaches a point where We feel that the Democrats, and we've told them this and put them on notice just a few months ago when Robert Strauss was here, that we're no longer going to sit back and vote Democratic just because a few leaders said this. We're going to be either at the top making the decisions, or we're not going to be in the party at all. We're going to be at the top of any party we're in on a decision-making level. We're going to have representation there. And if we do not have this, then we're going to have to find another way of being political viable in some other party or something like this.
How did Strauss respond to that?
They're already working on it. I got a call from J.R. Clakeland just last week, another one Sunday. We're forming an affirmative action committee in the state of Georgia, and he agrees that what we say ought to be done, and he's endorsed the concept, and we're working towards this presently, to have blacks not only on the local level in the state of Georgia, but also throughout the Democratic Party up to the national level, that we're going to have black representation there.
How strong is the Democratic Party in Georgia?
I think the Democratic Party is very strong and will be strong for another 20 or 30 years.
Do you think the Republicans have peaked?
I don't think I'm astute enough to say that they've peaked, but I think that if they had peaked, then they're on a downward trend right now because of Watergate. I can't predict whether they peaked or not, but I do know that Georgians are traditionally Democratic, and we will be that way for some years to come.
What do you think would have to happen for Democrats to carry Georgia in a presidential election?
I think that that in 1976 that the Democrats will carry Georgia on a national level. I think that one of the things that happened in the past is that, and the reason why Georgia has not been doing what it has done so many years, is because the Republican Party latched on to those things that Georgians and Southerners were deeply concerned about, the busing and several racial questions. I think that many Georgians saw the Democratic Party as a party that brought about changes in civil rights that traditionally they didn't want, and because of these kinds of things, somebody up in Washington, we don't need that because these Washington people are making the decisions and they are affecting our way of life, and Mr. Nixon and his people came along with what Georgians wanted to hear, and they thought that this is our man, and I think this is the reason why they voted, and I think this is a trend that the Republican Party has been taking. But I think that now that most of the civil rights fights are over and black people have gained several things for themselves, that we're going to see a coming back to the party of the people from Georgians and other white Southerners throughout the southern states.
What sort of coalitions do you see blacks developing?
I think that for the first time during Maynard Jackson's campaign for Senate, that Maynard used the approach that it's not a new approach, but it was somewhat new to Georgians, is that you know, if black people and poor white people can get together, that we are in a majority, that we can do something against the bureaucracy of this state and this country. And I think that you saw to some degree a small marriage there, because Maynard carried small country towns. He carried a good number of the votes, and people have begun to recognize that it's not in the color, it's in the man. And I think this is one of the reasons why Maynard Jackson is mayor of Atlanta now, is because of what he preached to people and what he told them, and he opened their eyes to many things. And as I always say, to not to Senator Talmadge's face, but I've said it to many others, that Maynard Jackson made Senator Talmadge a better senator, because he brought out things that that really made the senator think a couple of times about what he had not been doing, and how he had not been working directly with his people, and they didn't know what he's doing. And now he does a better job. And as a matter of fact, he's put a black on his staff that's doing a very fine job for him there. And we have a local caucus here, and Senator Talmadge is going to be our next speaker next month in the black community.
Do you attribute that change directly to Maynard Jackson's challenge to him?
I think that it played a major role in the change of attitude. Senator Talmadge is an astute politician. He's a smart man, and he recognized the power of the vote.
And do you think that he has genuinely changed?
Yes, I really do. I think that he's more responsive now, and I can name numbers of things that he's done in direct support of black people throughout this state. I don't mean one or two black people. I mean for the masses of black people.
Name some of them.
Well, in terms of housing projects that's been built by black churches, how the senator immediately endorsed these projects and worked towards making them realities. There are two here in our community, and there are many others.
You're saying that his office helped get those projects approved?
Right. He supported them in every way and endorsed them because he thought they were worthwhile and needed projects for in the areas. After doing research, as he told me, that the housing units were needed. I could say 10 years ago that regards to the need, I don't think the projects would have been done, and in all probability, Senator Talmadge might not have supported them. But I think that today he supports them. And I think another thing, the having the black on his staff has brought a new dimension to his office. Now he has somebody there that he can relate to on a daily basis as to the problems of black people in the state. And in order to be a better elected official and recognizing the power of the vote and recognizing there is power in the black vote, that he is more responsive to the problems of black people now.
But in addition to endorsing these housing projects, his office actually helped